Y'all can hear me? Yes. Yeah, see, when I first touched it, I turned it off. See, I remember when Steve first trained me, he said, first, you hold it to turn it on, and then you push it for mute, because nobody wants to hear you going to the bathroom. But when I got up here, I held it, and that turns it off. So, all right, so we got it on. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Glad to be back with you guys. I'm always excited when I get an opportunity to share the word. And before any of you say anything, yes, this is like a Fitbit tracker. I'm wearing it trying to get my steps in. That's because me and my wife have been going walking every weekend. It's one of the things that has helped us do. We get to get together and do that. But every time we go out walking, I don't care how far we walk, she's always 1,000, 2,000 steps ahead of me. Now, I understood this when she was working, because she'd go to work. She's like, yeah, I take the stairs. I do all this. Okay, she's getting extra steps. But she's working from home. She goes to the room next to our master bedroom. And when we come out of there, she's still 2,000 steps ahead. I say, woman, you're a witch. What's going on? So this is an attempt to get ahead of her. I don't think it's going to happen. Y'all pray for me, man. My wife is a blessing. She is an anointed woman of God. She cheats when we play games. She uses that anointing. she doesn't cheat, but man, she's blessed. Stuff happens in the games. I'm like, okay, something's going on. And she's like a graceful winner. I'm competitive. I'm trying to get it. She's just winning and laughing. You just hate that. Just laughing in your face. Amen. But she's blessed. She's blessed. All right. Well, you know what? I like the fact that when Steve started, he talking about we are, or our reasonable act of service to God is make ourselves a living sacrifice. Amen? A living sacrifice. And that's interesting because sacrifices don't typically want to be given, right? You're grabbing an animal that wanted to do something else. And so even, I get the picture that even if you're unwilling, even if you just don't feel like it, your reasonable act of service is to offer yourselves to God. Amen? The Bible says our body is the temple of God, or the temple of the Holy Spirit who indwells us. We were bought and paid for with the price. Amen? So we can even come into God's presence even when our flesh doesn't want to. I've done all this work. I've talked to all these kids. I got all this stuff going on. I really don't feel like worshiping God. You know what? You have the authority to say, body, shut up. Mind, shut up. For the next 5, the next 10, the next 30, however long it is for you, right now we are going to give ourselves to God. You can do that. And I believe God will honor you. Well, I'm going to challenge you right now to honor that and give yourselves to God again. Everybody get out your phones, because we are intending to make an impact. Amen. I love this time because it has offered us an opportunity to expand our footprint in the technical universe. And so I'm going to challenge you to do what we did last time. Last time I challenged you to share this worship service with a friend. And I'm going to tell you that it actually worked. I got word that we had people that joined us from Houston. We had people that joined us from Arkansas. We had people that joined us from California. And that's just the worst that I've gotten. So I want to continue that effort. So you that are here and you that are watching by live stream, whether it's on your phone or it's on your laptop, get to that chat, the right by the chat part. Click the share link. I've already did it. If you're on YouTube, you'll see it right below the screen. It'll say share Facebook. I don't know what you guys have, but I think you have a share button. You already shared it. Click that. It's going to pull up your contacts and share it however you want to share it, with a friend, a family member, a long-lost friend that you haven't talked to for a while that's somewhere else. Share it with them and tell them, come listen to this. And if you're a little nervous, I'm going to give you what to say. If they contact you, say, hey, man, why'd you send me this? You say, you know what? I was listening to this, and I knew it was going to be encouraging, and I thought of you. I'm giving you what to say. Just in case you're a little nervous, because what we are doing and what we're about, and some people have been concerned about it, is spreading ourselves beyond the walls. And look what this technology allows us to do. We instantly jump outside the walls. We leave the church and we're going into homes all over Austin and Round Rock. And we're leaving the church and we're going to homes that are in Houston and Arkansas and California. And I'm going to hope that we even get outside the borders of the United States. But in doing that, we are giving ourselves to God. Amen. Amen. Come on. I see you. I see you. I see you eating that chicken. Put that chicken down. Grab that phone and share this link. I know it. Do it. Do it. Do it. You'll be blessed. Amen. 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 All right. Praise God. So today I want to continue in the vein of encouraging us to continue in God, to get away from fear, because fear paralyzes. And last time I talked to you, fear can be used to control. So what I'm talking about today is going to give you a reason to overcome your fear. So we're going to go by titles. If we're going to put a title on, I want you to put this title on. It's Your Destiny Will Defeat Your Destruction. Your destiny will defeat your destruction. Come on. If you're watching us and there's a chat thing, put that in the chat. Just go and type that. I got this from somebody else. Say, my destiny is propelling me beyond my destruction. Because that's the thing that usually brings the fear. There's a trouble, there's a turmoil, there's a challenge that's in front of me that it appears like I can't handle. And when it's something that's beyond my ability to handle, I get a little nervous because I can look at my resources. I know what I can manage. I know what I have control of. And if I take inventory and match it up against what's in front of me and it doesn't seem to measure up or level out, I begin to get nervous or afraid or a little bit twitchy. And that's not where God wants us to be, right? When people tend to look into the future, usually when people are a little afraid or a little nervous or a little worried, they're usually looking into the future into things that they can't control. And if I can't control, I don't know what's going to happen. If I don't know what's going to happen, it's easy for me to lean toward the worst, not lean toward the best. Well, because in that scenario, the best could happen or the worst could happen, right? But the tendency is to lean toward the worst, and that's where we get scared. However, that's not where God would have us. That's why he said, hey, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Why would he tell us that? I've overcome the world part if his overcoming the world didn't have any bearing over what the world may present before us. He said, well, if I have overcome the world and you're included in me, then that means you have overcome the world. So you don't need to be afraid. Amen. When I go up against a challenge or trouble, I'm not just going up against it with my limited resources, but because I'm connected to the one who has the ultimate resources, the ultimate inventory. Amen. Does that make sense? All right. So your destiny will defeat your destruction. Let me write this down. Here's the definition of destiny. I wouldn't look that up. The definition of it's what's meant to be. It's your inescapable fate. This is the natural Webster definition for destiny. It's what's meant to be. It's your inescapable fate. It's an event that will necessarily happen. It's going to happen. It's not a might happen. This is going to happen. Now, and the synonym for destiny is divine decree. I saw that and said, oh man, I got something to preach. It's divine decree. The first thing I'm going to start with in looking at destiny, and then we'll get into the message, is Isaiah 46:10. Isaiah 46:10. I think we know this verse. We quote this verse all the time. I could quote it, but I'm going to go to it just so I'd have it here. Isaiah 46:10. Write this down. This is something you can decree when you're praying. It says, I make known the end from the beginning. This is looking into the nature of the God that we serve. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. God says before he started the earth, he established the end from the beginning. This is the nature of our God. This is God separating himself from other clothes, claiming to be God, and from other kingdoms. He's like, look, I'm the one that has established the end from the beginning. From ancient times, I'm telling you what's going to happen even before it happens. I'm that kind of God. And at the end of that, it says, my purpose will stand. The things that the Lord has decreed, the things that the Lord has etched in time, those things will happen. I established the end from the beginning. Let's jump over to Isaiah 55 and 11 as Isaiah is getting these brilliant pictures of our God. 55 and 11. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty or void, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. It will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. I used to like this. One of my big sisters in the faith is Renee Rochester, and she used to do this with purpose. She said, purpose, if you break that down, that's per and pose. Per is like for, and pose is like image. So purpose is a for image. So if we look at that, God had an image of what was supposed to happen with you or with things, and then he established that image and then backed up and spun the top and started us on the way to that foreordained image. He says in 55:11, so is the word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Listen to this in Amplified. So will my word be which goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me void, useless, or without result. If the word goes out from me, it's guaranteed to make some noise. Without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. It's not going to return to me without succeeding in the matter to which I sent it. Why is that important? Because if God ever said anything about you, if God ever said anything about what you're supposed to do, if God ever said anything or cared anything about who you're supposed to be, according to God, he did not do that without purpose or without intent. It was specific. It was intended. And if he spoke it, it's intended to be. If it's spoken, it's intended to be. Let's look at it in regards concerning us. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you. I know the plans that I... Now, first we started with, I know the end from the beginning. And then we went to, my word will not return to me void. Now we're at, I know the plans that I have for you. First of all, it's enlightening because it means that God has plans for you. See, y'all don't get that. Y'all don't get that. Let me back up and make this physiologically correct, all right? I learned this because of my background in sports, whatever, and I studied muscles. I was in kinesiology, and as soon as I took that class, I got out because I knew I wanted to have nothing to do with that stuff. Man, it was hard. But one of the things that I did remember when we were talking about muscles, and they said, you know, your muscles are made up of two different types of muscles. One is called fast twitch muscles, and one are called slow twitch muscles. Slow twitch muscles are muscles that burn or act for a long period of time. So these are what you would see people that do miles or swim the miles and stuff. You broke their muscles down. You'd see a lot of slow twitch muscle fiber. They can do an action over and over and over again for a long period of time. Fast twitch is very explosive. Boom! Short period of time, then it's gone. But it's powerful. Boom! Man, you're out there. So your long jumpers, your sprinters, these are people that have a lot of fast twitch muscles. Now, both groups have a mix of both. Everybody has a little bit of fast. Everybody has a little bit of slow. However, it's interesting when you look at the milers and the fast twitch people and the sprinters, the composition of their bodies matches what they are intended to do. Now, if you have a lot of slow twitch muscle fiber and you're like, I want to be a sprinter and I'm going to go and do this thing, you cannot get change the makeup of your muscles to a whole lot more fast twitch muscle fiber. Now you're a sprinter. It just doesn't work like that. You were given what you were given at birth. God says, I know the plans that I have for you. I know the plans that I have. Let me give you another one. He says, I knew you when you were in the womb. I knew you when you were in the womb, when you were being formed, before you came out and was demanding food and energy from your parents. God was in there designing. He's like, all right, John, I want you to come on up here. I'm going to use you to go out and be a speaker and to be creative for me. So I'm going to give you creative ideas. And I'm you know, he was putting things in me. I came out, I want to be a basketball player. I'm 5'9". He's like, that was not my intended purpose for you. But when I found myself in the arena of God, all of a sudden things clicked in. And I was like, man, this is what I enjoy doing. God said, I knew you when you were in the womb. And he was planning and he was designing me so that I would fit the form image that he had of me even before I came into being. Your destiny will defeat your destruction. Let me give you an easy one, because you can see this, and we use it on Think About It. Ephesians chapter 1, which talks about God's global purposes for us. Verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him. What's that next phrase? Before the creation of the world, the foreimage. He chose us already. Before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us. He planned beforehand that we would be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. And when John's baptized, he looks up and he sees Jesus and he says, behold, the Lamb of God slain before the creation of the world. He had a plan. And it could not be altered. When Eve did what she did in the garden, and then Adam followed behind her and did what he did, and God met them in the garden, what is this that you have done? God spoke from that time a prophecy. The serpent will bruise your heel, but you will crush his head. If you study a guy by the name, this is pastor's favorite person, or I don't know if it's his favorite. It's a guy that he liked. E.W. Kenyon. And as E.W. Kenyon walks through the scriptures, he says it's interesting that from that time that God made that decree, if you go through the history of the scriptures, you will see these mass killing of babies throughout time. And it's his thought that that was the devil trying to wipe out that seed of promise that God said in the very beginning. You had Cain, you had Abel. Abel was one of the ones that followed God. Cain, filled with evil, killed Abel. That was like, that's it. I stamped out the seed of God. But God gave them more children. Couldn't do it. Yeah, the time when the Israelites went to Egypt, and what did Pharaoh do? Right when Moses was born, he killed all the firstborns. It was the devil trying to stamp out the seed of God. Couldn't do it. You had Jesus coming to the earth, and right about that time, and Herod heard that this king was coming, and he said, you know what? I better do something to stop this next ruler. What did he do? He killed all the children from the ages of 0 to 2, because he didn't know. He said somewhere in there, about 2 years old, he killed all of them trying to stamp out the seed of God. Couldn't do it. Jesus comes along on the scene, gets anointed, the Holy Spirit falls upon him, he goes out in the wilderness, and what does the devil say? He challenges him, if you then do this, because he wasn't sure. Even though the decree went out, this is the Son of God, couldn't pervert him, and Jesus ultimately fulfilled the foreimage that God had before the creation of the world. Destiny will overcome destruction. We're all very aware of the destruction that Jesus went to. Jesus was on the cross. Jesus was being killed. But that was not his destiny. The destruction that was heaped upon him could not stop the plan of God to have him pay the penalty for mankind and be raised to life. And God said, again, thou shalt be unto me a son. Your destiny will overcome your destruction. Let me move into the realm where we deal with you. Conflict is inevitable. What did the word say in John 16, 36? He said, in this world you will have trouble. Conflict is inevitable. If you thought you were going to get away with being born, getting to the point before you ascended to the heavens to be with God, to be absent from the body, is to be present with God, and you would never go through any conflict, you have another thing coming. Conflict is inevitable. While we live in this world, we live in a flawed world with flawed people. Conflict is going to happen, let alone the thing where he says that the world will hate you because it hated me. That's intentional conflict thrown your way that has nothing to do with your personality. You can just have a nasty personality and conflict is coming to you. You got this extra over here coming. Conflict is inevitable. In this world, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. So conflict is inevitable. Trouble is inevitable. 1 Peter 5 and 8, the enemy. Let me back that up a little bit. Let me give you one more where conflict is inevitable. The Bible says, when Jesus was teaching about the parable of the sower, he says the sower sows the word. But as soon as the word is sown, what happens? Trouble. The devil comes to steal the word that was given. Trouble that is actually activated by the proclamation of the word. I'm just laying this out there, that trouble is inevitable. I put this out there so that we can stop the scene that happens when trouble comes. Oh my God! Right. Oh, help me! Trouble has found its way to me. Yes, trouble has found its way to you. This is the same thing that happened to me the first time I played football. If you're in this church, you've heard this story. I went to practice every day. We're tackling in practice every day. Well, Monday through Friday, not the weekend. We're tackling. We're getting prepared. We get in the first game. I got my nice clean jersey on. I'm looking good. Coach is right here beside me because, you know, you little people, so they don't get out the field. They're right there. They kicked the ball. Ball's coming right to me. I caught it. And I caught it. I looked at the coach and said, good job. Now run. And I went to take a step, and the other guy came down, boom, hit me right in the mouth. I fell on the ground, and I cried. Ah, this is football. What are you doing? I was shocked. He had the nerve to tackle me. He's, John, you're playing football. It's part of the game. Come on, saints. We are Christians. Trouble is part of the game. I mean, God had left us orphanless, left us by ourselves. You deal with that on your own. I got my own thing going. Then I get it. No, man, when trouble comes, we have to say, all right, let's get it. It's our turn. Yeah. It's our turn. Yeah. I'm not saying that you can't be concerned about it. It's big situations. You kind of get serious. Something's going to happen, but we don't have to be overwhelmed. Amen. It's just part of the game. Come on, man. God did not leave us by ourselves. Trouble is just a part of the game. So when trouble comes, what you have to do is refocus your faith. I talked about this last time because the trouble comes to trip you up. That's what the trouble does. When trouble presents itself and it's in front of you, the first thing it does is distract you because it makes you look at the trouble. John 16:33 says, in this world we will have trouble. And then he starts out there, he says, but take heart. Why? Because the natural intention is to lose heart. Oh my gosh. First thing that happened when I had the dissection, my heart exploded. I thought I had a heart attack because I'd never been in that situation before. And my wife's getting up. Okay, you're throwing up in the tub. We got to get out of here. We got to take you somewhere. And we get down there, and they're looking. They were about to send me home. And the doctor just happens. You know what? I want to try one more thing. And I'm like, okay, we're going to try one more thing. He gives me the dye. They take me in. They scan my body. And he comes in, and he has that worried look on his face. I'm thinking we're about to go home. Cause I, you know, I'm like, well, shoot, probably the worst, I just got gas. This is what I'm thinking. I just got gas. He comes in and said, well, Mr. Henderson, I gotta tell you something. You had an aortic dissection. You know what that was? I'm like, and? He's like, you had an aortic dissection. And he just tried to describe, said, look, your aorta is kind of like double tubed. There's an inner layer and an outer layer. He said, your inner layer has split open. I didn't know how bad it was. It was from up in my neck all the way down to my kidneys. Everybody that has had this situation has died inside of 15 minutes. I'm sitting here trying to go back home. He's like, don't worry, don't worry. I called the ambulance. You're going to the hospital. And I'm still like, you know, they section. Just give me a valve, a salve, or something, and we're out of here. He's like, no, you gotta go to the hospital. You know, I'm still thinking we're going to get to go home. You know, next thing I know, it was like, what, 3-4 weeks later? We went in January. I didn't get back home until February. I didn't even know everything that happened. Y'all want to know a story? Talk to my wife. I ended up having to get flown to Houston. They're telling my wife, hey, we're going to send you to Houston, but I don't know if there's any miracles in Houston. This dude is a ticking time bomb. He's, you know, I'm supposed to die any minute. First thing we did, went out there, grabbed my wife's hand, said, all right, look, we're going to agree with the power of God to cover the situation. We needed it, too, because the next thing out there, they had to put me out. They tried to make me do this breathing test. I couldn't breathe. I tried to jump up out the chair. I'm fighting the staff. Rob was there. They said, oh, my God, we got to put this dude under. He's going to give himself a heart attack. Then I was out until I was in Houston. That was serious. That was trouble. But the trouble did not triumph our King. Come on. Trouble is inevitable, but it's not nothing that our God didn't expect. Your destiny will defeat your destruction. The Bible says, 1 Peter 5:8, your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, but resist him. You have to refocus your faith. When the trouble first comes before you and it's big, it's this big. It's, oh my God, it's big. Look at how big that trouble is. Oh my God. And the natural tendency is to focus on the trouble. Focus on the distress. Oh my God, it's so big. Is that coming right at us? Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And you just presented with all the facts of the trouble. God says, in that moment, you have to refocus your faith. You have to redirect yourself into the source of your strength. Yeah. Jesus said that you can find peace in me. Yeah. Here's an example. Remember when, I think Brian just ministered this. I think Damon touched on it. When they're counting, they're out on the boat. And Jesus said, we're going to go to the other side. And they're in the boat. And trouble sprang up. And they were looking at the trouble. And there's, oh my gosh, the storm. And they're getting tossed back and forth. And they're like, oh, we're going to die. Because they're looking at the trouble. And right in the midst of that, somebody said, you know what? We need to wake the master up. We panicking, but this dude over here is sleeping. Somebody wake him up. But it was the best thing they could have did, because when they shook him up, when they woke him up, they refocused their attention. Jesus said, what's wrong with y'all? he didn't first speak to the storm. He's like, what's wrong with y'all? Why? Because the word had already been spoken. We're going to the other side. Remember the message that Brian ministered about Lazarus? Oh, my God. He said, this is not going to be unto death. Lazarus is sleeping. We're going to wake him up. And one of the people in the thing said, oh, we better go down there with him because they're going to kill him when he get there. So said, no, you got to refocus your faith. He's talking to the sisters. You believe he'll live again? Oh, yeah, I know he'll live on the other side. No. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. His resources were greater than what they thought. Why? Because when we get presented with trouble and we get presented with our problems, we have the picture that our God's power is limited by the definitions of our trouble. Well, I can trust you, God, if you get here and raise Lazarus before he dies. But if he dies, that's the run, it's over. It's over once he dies. Because then the trouble is beyond the help of our God. But his power is not limited to the dimensions of our imagination. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Didn't matter. He said, but Lord, it's been 3 days. He stinks. See, they're saying he limited right there. We had you at the healing, but this is something different. Nah, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Refocus your faith. The God that you serve has unlimited resources, has unlimited strength. He's not limited, again, by our imagination. He's a limitless God. Refocus your faith and then write this down. If you're watching this by live stream, write this in the chat. God turns trouble into our triumph. Write that in the chat. My trouble will become my triumph. 2 Peter 2:9, write that down. It said, let me go to it. I was just going to say it, but I'm going to read it. 2 Peter 2:9. Do you remember this? It says, if this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and behold the unrighteous for the day of judgment. I'm putting this out there because I know some of you nutheads are out there saying that this corona stuff is our God doing damage and this is what the world happened. I'm going to tell you, it's not that. It's just normally stuff that's in the world. It's not even the first time that this has happened. 1918, there was a flu killing a bunch of people. This has happened before. But even if it was something that our God is doing, 2 Peter says, our God knows how to rescue the ungodly. Listen to this. The trouble of the world is not trouble for the saints. The trouble of the world often advances the cause of the saints. Come on, people. There's going to be a time when Jesus said there's going to be great tribulation on the world. There's going to be a, pestilence that hits the earth. It's going to kill, I don't know how to present it, it's like a third of the population. It's going to be wiped out. Big trouble. Big war is going to happen. It's going to kill another big percentage of the population. Then there's going to be a major earthquake. Shakes up the earth. Big trouble. Going to wipe things out. A meteor is going to hit the earth. It's going to be called Wormwood. It's in the scriptures. That's why I think it's so funny. One of the articles that you'll see that pops up in the news is, this meteor is approaching our earth. I find that interesting because in the last days, a meteor is going to hit the earth. Go back there and talk to Steve about the natural devastation that happens if a large-sized meteor were to hit the earth. They're going to go through that. That's going to be big trouble for the earth. But you know what? It's only a preface to our triumph. Because that marks the beginning of when our Lord returns and brings us with us. Their trouble is our triumph. Come on, people. Trouble of the world often equals the triumph of the believer. We don't go through this stuff like they go through the stuff. Because of the God that we serve. Y'all remember the flood? That was trouble. Everybody outside that ark. But it was triumph for the people of God that God chose to preserve. Come on, man. God knows how to preserve us, and God knows how to preserve you. I think that was Damon that ministered that. He said, you think this corona thing caught God off guard? No. No. But you got saints out here losing their minds, turning on each other. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe you do this. Look, stop. We are not like the world. We have a hope. We have a promise. No, we don't have to be stupid and do things that are not wise, but we do not have to walk in the fear of the world. Amen. Their trouble often equals our triumph. I give you a good example. We walked into this thing, and somehow they convinced the government that they need to give everybody a stimulus. We got $2,400 that we weren't expecting to get. You know what? We use that thing. Shoot, that was extra money. Well, we're going to use this to advance our cause. Look at there. That little bit of trouble caused just a little bit of blessing, a little bit of blessing. How many of you got a little extra money that you weren't expecting that? Okay, I'm getting too practical. I'm just saying, come on now. Come on now. Somebody was able to use this situation for their advancement. Come on. Somebody was able to use that. I remember when, I think it was 2008 when we had the stock market crash. Stock market crashed. Everything went down. There was a guy who saw what was happening when they were doing the loans, the no money down loans. Yeah, no money down loans. People were buying this home. The dude said, look at this. These people with bad credit are getting these homes. He's like, man, that system going to fail because the whole thing was based upon loans. You'd buy a loan and the bank would turn around and sell that loan to somebody else. And the whole thing was propped up on this person making sure they paid off that loan. He said, man, when that thing falls, this whole thing going to topple. He started preparing. He started telling people, look, you give me money, we're going to invest in this for when this thing fails. And when that thing failed, this dude made hundreds of millions of dollars. I wish that would have been one of us. Me too. It could have been. It could have been. Come on, man. The trouble that happened ended up being somebody else's triumph. I'm not saying that there's not trouble. I'm not saying you shouldn't consider it serious. What I'm saying is that trouble can mean triumph for us because our destiny, our God-decreed destiny is intended to defeat our destruction. Let me give you one last one just to put it in perspective, and you'll see it in operation that way because I want you to see it in your life. I want you to see it in your life. I want everybody to go home and start thanking God and praising God that, Lord, I don't care how we got into this situation. I am going to walk in victory in this situation. You are launching me into victory. You are launching me into my advancement. I thank you for it. I'm going to praise you right now for what you have bringing me into in the middle of this trouble. In the middle of this trouble. Genesis 37 and 5. I'm going to start right there. We're going to walk through the situation with Joseph because this is the thing that I think clearly shows his destiny overcoming his trouble. Now, 37:5, that's when Joseph has the dream and he tells it to his brothers. You know, they say, I had a dream. You guys listen to the dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly and my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. Now, everybody knows, did this happen? Yes, it did. His brothers came to him looking for grain when the famine came for their father. And they came before him. They thought he was one of Pharaoh's rulers and they bowed down to him. So this is a foreimage that God had. It's established and he revealed it to Joseph. Now, Joseph's problem is we're not talking about it. Right? But he's sharing. This is when the problem starts. So 37:5, he tells his brothers the dream. 37:9, he tells his mom and dad the dream, right? Sun and the moon, you're going to bow down to me. Dad's like, boy, are you crazy? Well, he tells them all he's doing, he's telling them the dream. He doesn't even know what it means, but he's telling them the dreams. But this caused the problem. Right? So now the brothers are upset. 37, we advance to 20. The brothers conceive a plan to kill Joseph. Now, for me, this is too much trouble. Why not beat me up, steal my robe? We went from we mad at him to killing. That seems like an escalation. That's a big escalation, right? But this is the devil moving in here. But they conceive a plan to kill him. Right here, you see God step in, 37, 27, right here, the first time God steps in, come, let's sell him. This is his brother. Judah said to his brothers, what will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelite. Now, he actually didn't want to sell him. He's trying to buy time so he can save him. But by him interjecting this, it stops the plot to kill him. God first, preserving Joseph in this situation. So they put him in the pit. 37:27, Joseph is sold into slavery. Now, he went from, you guys are going to bow to me. I'm the best dressed brother in this family. Personally adorned by father. He's in a pit and now he's sold into slavery. This is not how he saw the plan of God coming for his life. It's not how he pictured it in his mind, right? Got to remember that, because in our situations, sometimes we'll end up in a location, we'll end up in a place and say, you know what, God, this is not how I pictured it going. It does not mean that God's plan for you has been stopped or has been nullified. You're just in a place that's unfamiliar to you, but not unexpected for God. 39:2, watch this. Jump all the way to 39:2. You're going to see God step in. He's been sold. He's in Potiphar's house. And it says the Lord was with Joseph and he prospered. The Lord was with Joseph as a slave and he prospered. Why is that troubling, or why is that good news? Because some of us are waiting for the situation to change in order for our prosperity to happen. God's like, no, I can prosper you in the middle of your trouble. I can advance you in the middle of your problems. You're waiting for it to leave. God said, no, command me to do something now. Command me to do something now. I can prepare a table for you even among your enemies. Why? I'm not limited by your situation. I'm just limited by your imagination. Come on. Come on. God said, I prospered him even as a slave. Potiphar's house was blessed because Joseph was in the house. That's 39:2. 39:5. Read that. 39:5 says, from the time Potiphar put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The house was blessed because of Joseph. Come on, I'm going to remind y'all, Rob shared a testimony that the company was blessed because of Rob. Come on, come on. Your company can be blessed because you there and God indwells you. God says, I need to get my son blessed, so I'm just going to have to bless the company. If I was you, I'd walk into my boss's place and say, you know what, this place is going to prosper just because I'm here. You better make sure you take care of me, because me being here is going to take care of you. Come on, God blessed him even in Potiphar's house. They meant it to destroy him, but his destiny keeps propelling him past his destruction. Then 39:20 hits, and the wife takes notice of him, wants to get a piece of him. Come on, boy, you're a slave. You can't deny me. Joseph has integrity. He just didn't give in to it. And for his trouble, he gets thrown in prison. This does not seem like the plan of God. Come on now. Come on. First, I'm a slave. Then God's blessing me. It seems like it's okay. I'm going to have to be a slave, but I'm getting blessed. And I go from that to prison. I was like, Jesus, Lord, why have you abandoned me? But the whole time Joseph is in the trouble, he's getting closer to the king. He can't see the plan of God. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. But the whole time he's in this trouble, God is moving him closer to the throne. Joseph is in the prison. And verse 22, Joseph gets put in charge of the prison, of the prisoners. Come on, I challenge you. Go throughout all of history. You tell me when one of the prisoners becomes the head of the prison. Come on, it just doesn't happen. Come on, God is advancing him. At every point, this dude is a leader. Y'all know what happens. The cupbearer and the baker come into the place and they got problems. Joseph decrees his vision. Here's what your dream means. Remember me. Don't y'all ever get like that? I'm going to help God out. This dude is next to the king. I see the path. I see the path. When y'all go back, make sure you remind the way who told you what was going to happen, right? I see the vision. I see the plan. Thank you, God. They get out of there and they forget about it. Come on. This is not what I thought was going to happen. They up there with the king. I'm still in the prison. God, you must have missed it. God's like, no, wait a minute, brother. It's just not time. It's just not time. Y'all know what happened? Just what Joseph said was going to happen. And all of a sudden, was it the cupbearer? Yeah. That survived. When the king, God sends a troubling dream to the king. Nobody could tell him what the dream meant. All of a sudden, the cupbearer says, oh, I've been derelict in my duties. There's a guy in jail. He told us the dream. And what he said happened. The king's like, what? Well, let me see if this dude is talking about. Comes up, gives God honor, tells him what the dream means. Then he gets one step further, right? This is Jerry Chambers working right here. Here's what the dream means. Here's what you should do. He starts planning it out. You need to find you somebody that in the good years, they store up all the wealth. So then in the bad years, then you got stuff that you can portion out. He said, go find you somebody. And the king said, well, shoot, why not just have you do it? And all of a sudden, he goes from being a hated brother to being a slave, from being a prisoner to being the king's right-hand man. And it's not just that he was a right-hand man. The king said, brother, you can rule everything just up under me. Nothing is without your authority. So now he's in the place. Now this is where I start bragging. Now I'm sending messages back to the brothers. No, Joseph's doing his job. Joseph's doing his job. The brothers come because the famine hits, just like he said, Israel was about to die. And this is why God put him in position to save Israel. That's why God put him in position. So Israel comes, he does what he does, and the brothers are standing. He did play with them a little bit. He did play with him a little bit. See, you know, everybody's human. And in 50-20, he has to tell him, look, I can't do this anymore. And he tells him, look, what you intended to harm me, God intended it for good. You know, he's telling them, my destiny was greater than the trouble you tried to bring on me. Come on, this is what I'm telling you. Your destiny, the thing that God has said about you, the thing that God has decreed. God said, I didn't forget that. What I said out of my mouth is not returning to me void. What I desire is going to happen. Don't give up. Stand on the promise. Remind me of my word. Your destiny will propel you past your trouble. It's not big enough to keep you down. That wasn't big enough to keep Jesus in the grave. It couldn't do it. Death wasn't big enough to hold Lazarus. That wasn't even Jesus. He was just in the presence of resurrection. And trouble can't not keep you in the dumps. Your destiny will propel you past your trouble. Amen. Come on. Come on. Type it in the chat, man. I'm looking toward my destiny. I'm looking toward God's word. I'm getting past this. This is not going to hold me in place. We're going to come out on the other side of this thing better than when we went in. Come on, people. Shout and praise your God. He's well able. He's well able. He's well able. Come on. Come on. Praise you, Father. So as we go forward, I'm trying to stop the worry stuff. I'm not saying don't be concerned. Just put the worry aside. Some of you think this trouble that is in front of you is meant to eliminate you. Just remind you that God intends it to elevate you. Just keep looking toward your God. God, I don't understand this. This hurts my heart, but I trust you. Show me. This is what Pastor Michelle is telling us. Look, go into your quiet place. Get into your quiet place. Get before your God. Why? So that you can hear his voice. Father, what are you saying? What are you saying? Why? So that you can rest easy in the position that God has placed you in and move easily, flow easily into your destiny. Come on. Your destiny will defeat your destruction. Come on, I'm done. We're going to stand up and praise God. Everybody in their room, in the living room, stand up and praise God. And we're going to thank God that he has purposed us to triumph. Come on. Father, we bless you and we thank you, sir. With that which was meant to destroy us is going to propel us, because greater are you that is in us than he that is in the world. Thank you, Father. We say, be it unto us according to your word. Be it unto us according to your word. Your word will not return to you void. It will accomplish what you intended it to do. So we thank you, Lord, for triumph. We thank you, Lord, for victory. We thank you, Lord. Your plan is prevailing. Your plans will prevail. Thank you, Lord. What you intended, it shall be. We glory in you, our God. We praise you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We receive your plans with gladness and with joy. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. 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 Now, you finish this, you get in the chat, and you share what God blessed you with. Matter of fact, before you leave, send a text to us saying, you know what? I got my triumph. You type that in the chat. We want to know that you're here listening with us and cooperating with us, because we know that God is advancing his purposes in our lives for his praise and for his glory, not for ours, but for his glorification in the earth. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think Brother John deserves an ovation of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Wow. That's some strong stuff. Some strong stuff. Hallelujah. 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 Well, we're not quite through. Let's just pray in the spirit for just for a minute or two. Sataroko sore kiride le bastaturo manda rebe. Mando rebe rebe site kasakoro kore keshte de amando el amaro sore be raba dadande kiride de ba dondo reki. Mando sondar regire araba roho rekatara. Saro sotore be sike raba starma. Mandole chi di bene, ma non corre che deve dare la bassata. Se tu deve bassata, rosso torre chi se deve le, ma non la bassata. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name. Father, we seal the word. We seal your word into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We say we will not be stolen from. We know the enemy now has to come and steal that word. He has to come and try to steal that word. But we say no. That word is ours and we hold on to it. And we will not let it go. Our triumph comes from the adversity. And I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that your Holy Spirit brings triumph, the truth, and victory from your heart through the trouble. I thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. 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 Well, there's an old saying that when it's talking about somebody gets charged up and they get fired up and ready to go, they could charge hell with a water pistol. I kind of feel like that right now. Y'all, Y'all feel like that? Praise God. Praise God. What a powerful anointing. Thank you. We want you here. We want you here. We're going to meet again Sunday morning at 10:30. We're going to do it all again. And every time we're going deeper and deeper, we're getting further and further, more and more equipped with the inexhaustible, is that right? Riches of God's grace, His glory, His power being released, first of all in here and then in the world. Because that's the purpose that God has placed on us at this time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's exciting time. Exciting time. There's so much going on. There's so much going on. All day long, a song has been going in my head. Some of you may know it. I think it was from Mercy Me. It's been going on all day long. And it was a good song. Yeah, it was. It's going to be a brighter day. Everything's about to change. Everything is about to change. It's going to be a brighter day. Nobody? I'll work on that. Need a little more. Anyway, there's a brighter day coming. A brighter day is coming. Because everything is about to change. Everything is changing. And I'm excited. I'm excited about what God is doing. Hallelujah. Well, I call you blessed. I say that you walk in divine peace, joy, and love, and that truth and triumph goes before you and surrounds you on all sides, along with the favor of God. And everything you put your hand to is prosperous when you are obedient to the Spirit and the voice of God. And you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And you cause the glory of God to be manifest in every situation, in every circumstance. And you bring glory to His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glad you were here. We thank you for joining us. Share it again with some friends, because it's going to be there for a while. Go back and listen to it again. You are blessed. Whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse. We'll see you on Sunday.